Hello, and welcome to another edition of We Own This Town Music, a podcast dedicated to showcasing new and notable music from Nashville and surrounding areas. I am your host, Michael Eads, and this is volume 126. Welcome to 2019. It's the 20-year anniversary of the Y2K bug. Everyone remembers that, right? You know, when the entire planet feared that all computers would cease to function properly because changing from the year 1999 to the year 2000 would result in all computers thinking it was the year zero? I'm glad we dodged that bullet. All right. Before we dive in, I want to remind you all that this podcast is part of a network of podcasts under the We Own This Town umbrella. Head on over to weownthistown.net, click on podcasts in the menu, and you'll see a plethora of shows to entertain yourself with, all brought to you by Nashville area hosts. The newest addition to the lineup is called Liquid Gold, brought to you by Mike Wolf and Kenneth Dedmond. The show is all about beverages. They've already managed to squeeze in two episodes and provided plenty of actual drink recipes, insights into the local beer and wine scene, and interviewed folks from Southern Grist and Bastion. That's just two episodes. There's a lot more coming. You might also notice that this episode is being released on a Saturday as opposed to a Monday. I'm trying something new out as we get into the new year and thought it might be nice to put forth some musical offerings on the weekend when you presumably have more free time to listen to such things. Fortunately, podcasts are available anytime you care to listen to them, so the release day of this is a little inconsequential, all things considered. I mean, compared to Y2K, right? All right, let's get into some music. I told myself I was going to limit this episode to just six songs, but I couldn't do it. There's eight tracks ahead, spanning glam rock, shoegaze, some Weezer-esque rock and roll, and a little bit of ambient music thrown in for good measure. So let's get to it. This is The Blam Blams with A Pretty Face. That was The Blam Blams with A Pretty Face from the Roll On EP. That is self-described glam rock, and it's the debut release from the band. Shows a lot of promise, if you ask me. There's kind of like a fine line between a tribute band and being completely derivative, but they managed to fall on the side of being influenced without being a ripoff. Honestly, I'm a little skeptical of any band that cites Queen and the Beatles and David Bowie in their bio, because doy, of course. But by the time I got into listening to that on Bandcamp and I hit the third song, which is the one that we just heard, I was pretty hooked. I was in. So, you know, shows what I know. They did it. Bonus, they take that influence beyond just being the music and seem to wear a good bit of makeup and costumes in their press photos, when they play, etc. I am all for a good stage show, and they seem to be offering a solid one. So find out more at theblamblams.com or link to it from the episode detail page of this podcast. All right, now let's listen to Babe Curry, a band that I have a lot to say about.
Since I was young, I've lit on hangout. Gave no damn as to what things were about. I often was alert, so nothing ever hurt. I never wore a shirt. Since no one tends to listen, I tend to shout.
Was Babe Curry with the song Order off of the album Man Underground, or maybe it was Viva Babe Curry. It's a little unclear to me, to be honest. The album on Spotify is listed under the name Viva Babe Curry, but the actual album art just says Babe Curry. So here's the thing. Babe Curry is part of a collective slash label slash group of musicians called Sticker Getters. They've got a hyperactive Bandcamp page with loads of releases that span a multitude of genres and usually contain some sort of hyper cryptic liner notes. We've played some of their releases on previous shows, but I've never been quite able to figure out what their story was. I am still not clear. I've convinced myself that's kind of the point of it all. The ambiguity around it and my confusion with it sort of makes it more interesting. I have no idea what's going on, and that intrigues me. This particular album from Babe Curry contains the most slick production of all of the offerings, and I think works extremely well as an entry point into this entire endeavor. So go to the detail page, click on this, and once you've heard this record, I suggest you look up E-Jail, you look up Nikki J. Cook. Those two records grab my attention from them, and I think they also serve as an entry point. It's a fascinating thing. Overall, it's baffling to me, but maybe it's just me. It's definitely interesting, whatever it is. So thank you, Babe Curry. I'm sorry I'm always confused. Anyway, great song. Let's move on. I'm not going to figure it out on this show. All right. Up next, we're going to hear the Subnovas. We've played them a few times on the show before, but there's good reason for that, and I will explain it after you hear this song.
Hello from the children of planet Earth.
Okay, that was Telescreen from the Subnovas off of the album Between the Light Years. You may have caught the track title there with the sample going haywire there at the end. We've played them multiple times, as I mentioned. In fact, we played two songs from this album previously on the show. Why? Well, it turns out that this band has been working on this album for 4 years. So when I find a track that I like, and then I find out that a band has been working on it for an intensely long time, so I know it's a massive labor of love, it only feels appropriate to give it its proper due. That song is a bit more frantic than the other two we've played, but they all exist within this genre that I personally call space rock. Bands like Failure, Autolux, Shiner, Hum, you know, maybe a little late 90s era leaning there, but those were very influential bands for me in my younger days, so I continue to be drawn to that stuff. I think this Subnovas album is really good. It's definitely conceptual. It's cohesive from top to bottom. There's a story being told there. You really need to listen to it in its entirety. The songs that we play on here are nice entry points, but they don't really paint the whole picture. And I think you kind of need to hear the whole thing to really appreciate it. And they worked on it for 4 years. So yeah, you should give them like a little bit of your time to hear the whole thing. That applies to other genres as well. This is just one particular band example that I have at hand. So if you've been working on an album for 4 years and you want to hear it on this show, tweet at me at We Own This Town. I'll check it out. If it's as good as Between the Light Years, it will get some airplay. If it's half as good, we'll go that far. That's all subjective. Anyway, speaking of space rock, let's listen to another band that I have labeled as such previously on the show. This is Panda Park.
And so you are the cherries and the cream. I cannot find a soul so divine, just like the stars.
Understand.
Okay, that was Panda Park from Panda Park off of the single Panda Park. How's that for repetition? This track was debuted over on No Country for New Nashville a few weeks back, along with another track, and they both caught my ear. I picked that one because it's called Panda Park by the band Panda Park on the single Panda Park. It also says Panda Park in the lyrics. If that's not the titular track for a band, I don't know what is. In the article for the release, for the debut, there was a pull quote from band member Amy Lynn Wright about what they're doing with Panda Park. And the quote is, "Our goal is not necessarily to play out. Our goal is to release our music chemistry via online and stay behind a non-person visual recognition." So I take that to mean they aren't going to be putting out a lot of press photos of themselves. They're not going to be booking a lot of shows, if any. And they plan to just be releasing music out into the world via the internet. That is not an easy task, but I totally respect it. It's tough to be an online-only band, but if you can make it work, it seems pretty liberating. So I'm doing my part here by giving them a little bit of credit for something awesome. So thank you, No Country for New Nashville, for bringing this to my attention, and thank you, Panda Park, for churning them out. Also, thank you for making a song called Panda Park with your band called Panda Park on a single called Panda Park. It's just really fun for me to say. So you're bringing me a lot of joy there. All right, here's another song. You might recognize it. Pay attention.
Yeah.
right. That was In a Jar from Your Gaze off of an album, a compilation album called Little Furry Things, Dinosaur Jr. Revisited. Did you catch that was a Dinosaur Jr. cover? Did you? That song was originally released on the 1987 Dinosaur Jr. album, You're Living All Over Me, and actually stems from a compilation put out by The Blog That Celebrates Itself. That is a blog slash record label that's been reviewing and highlighting bands for 10 years. The compilations that they put out will generally be for something influential to their tastes. So there'll be like a Smashing Pumpkins tribute. There'll be a Fleetwood Mac tribute. But there'll also be slightly more obscure bands like Swirlies. Do you remember Swirlies? I absolutely do not. So it's a really interesting thing that the blog That Celebrates Itself is doing, putting out compilations of bands that they like through the lens of the bands that were influenced by the original band. Are you following me? Anyway, what do you think of that Your Gaze version of In a Jar? I think it is phenomenal. It's obviously a lot different from the original because Dinosaur Jr. is not a shoegaze band, but I think they did a wonderful job of making it their own. And I think that's extremely important whenever you do a cover. You gotta make it your own. However, some might say you can never surpass the original with a cover. I would argue that point because I kind of like this version of the song more than the original. I know that's blasphemy. You're supposed to just love Dinosaur Jr. carte blanche, but I'm a shoegaze guy. What can I say? I'm a shoegaze guy. So it really did it for me. Thank you, Your Gaze. If you liked that, go look up their album, Noise Dive. We played it on the show previously. It's a whole album of that kind of wall of sound of warbly guitars that My Bloody Valentine kind of established and perfected and has been carried on by the likes of Your Gaze. So lots more of that if you're into it. What's next? Let's listen to a brand new band. Just stumbled across them on Bandcamp. There's very little information about them, but I think you're going to like this song. Here is Futurecast. We'll be right back. That was Futurecast with What's So Cool About It from the It's Cool EP. There's just two tracks on that EP, but I'm digging the Weezer-y vibes and that keyboard and the growing guitars, all that. I should say I'm digging the early Weezer vibe because we all know that the Blue Album and Pinkerton, honestly though, between you and me, I completely believe that. I do not listen to anything after Pinkerton. I don't care to.
Anyway, this isn't a Weezer rant. No one gives a shit about what I think about Weezer. Let's talk about Futurecast. Here's what I can tell you about Futurecast based on their Bandcamp page. One, Matt.
I will say there's a really good episode of Song Exploder, another podcast.
No last name.
Talk to Rivers Cuomo about his writing process.
And it is
good job, Matt. It's the most thing I can say
is that
process for writing a song that I think anyone has ever shared. There's spreadsheets involved. There's
phenomenal.
Is the album art ripped off from some other artist's work and uncredited?
Maybe.
Maybe Matt drew it. But if Matt drew it, why wouldn't he give credit? I mean, it's unclear. I'm not throwing shade here on Futurecast. I really liked that song. I love this album art. I love the ambiguity of Matt on drums, guitar, bass, voice, and synth. I want to hear more. Hit me up, Futurecast. Tell me what you're all about. All right, enough about Futurecast. I mean, I would tell you more about Futurecast, but there's literally nothing more to tell. There's two songs. It's brand new. It's got a cool vibe, and I want to hear more. Devil on a Surfboard. All right, let's listen to something that's a little longer, a little more in the ambient sphere. You're still going to love it. Don't tune out just because I said that word. A lot of people tune out. There's also a tropical vibe. You like tropical vibes, right? Yeah, you do. Here's our Stevie Moore. We'll be right back.
Okay, that was R. Stevie Moore with Walker Waltz from FV013. It's actually a split 7-inch with the band Blank. That's B pipe underscore A-N-K. I presume that that is pronounced Blank. It's actually the first vinyl release for Blank. Split 7-inch. Congrats. I know that feels good. I picked this R. Stevie Moore track over the Blank track because the Blank track is a little more noisy, a little more abrasive. It doesn't make it bad, but it just, I don't know. This track grabbed me. What can I say? It's just so damn floaty and relaxing. I imagine myself laying out in a park somewhere, or walking through the city with headphones blaring, drowning out everything else. It's meditative, but it's fun, delightful even. I even love those little subtle vocal samples that are in there. That song does it for me. I can put that thing on repeat. It's 5.5 minutes long. Play it twice. You got yourself 11 minutes, y'all. 11 minutes. There's not much more I can say about that. It's delightful. Good job, Blank, for joining up with R. Stevie Moore, putting out your first 7-inch. Looking forward to the next thing you do. Go check this out, though. Do go look at the album art. They did a really good job with the album artwork. It's super cool. I'm not going to describe it on air. I'm going to make you go look at it. So go do that. All right, we're going to round out the show with another piece of ambient music from the band Faster is Faster. This is a brand new project. You haven't heard anything from them before, so let's dig into it. This is The Music as a Caterpillar. Thank you. Okay, that was The Music as Caterpillar from Faster is Faster from the album An Invisible Red Thread that came out at the very tail end of 2018. So you might have missed it. I think it was released the last Friday that anyone was in an office anywhere. So hopefully you didn't miss it. But if you did, now you know about it. It's an ambient album, all sort of in that same vein, from Dylan Smith, who is a member of the Proto Men. That's the part I'm not supposed to share. I don't know what's up with the Proto Men and their, their monikers, and if you're supposed to name any of them or cite who their real names are. I don't know. I don't know if I'm breaking the rules. Maybe I'll get a cease and desist just from saying that. Who knows? But Dylan is the mastermind behind this whole album. He made the whole thing, and it's a really great ambient album. I think it is very different from his primary gig, of which I will not say again, but I think that's what makes it so appealing and so impressive, is that it is completely different from his other endeavor, and it's really interesting to see what a varied artist and what he's capable of. I really enjoy this record. I mean, it's great. It's good from top to bottom. Go check it out. It's linked on the episode detail page. Faster is faster.bandcamp.com. They're on Facebook. I believe this is on Spotify as well. Great for just playing while you're working, concentrating on something, just existing. It's a great album for existing. There's your pull quote. Okay, that's it for the show. Thanks a lot. 2019, I'm really excited. I think we're going to get into a lot of stuff. I'm going to try and be really diligent with the releases. I'm going to try and do more interviews this year. I'm going to try and get into more genres that aren't just rock and roll. I know that this episode maybe was not a great example of that, but hey, you got to start somewhere. We got some ambient music in there. That's different. So, yeah. It's still going to be good. I'm not going to dive into crappy Americana or singer-songwriter stuff that's boring. I'm not going to be so varietal that it's antithetical to what I care to support, but I do want to get into more pop stuff. I'd like to play some metal on the show. I'd like to get into some hip-hop. You know, there's a lot of genres. So we're going to look into them. Thanks a lot for listening. If you have suggestions, if you have anything that you'd like us to hear, we are at We Own This Town on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We take direct messages. We take ads. We do all sorts of things. We're there for you. Please get in touch. Or just like favorite something from us, because that acknowledgement that we exist, it feels good. It's really nice. Okay, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Hit us up. Happy 2019. Thank you. Bye. Honestly, though, between you and me, I do not listen to anything after Pinkerton. I don't care to. I don't care what you tell me about how good a song is. I just can't listen to it. I don't care.